Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, and we are very fortunate to be joined by the 2016 U.S. presidential candidate, Clifton Roberts of the Humane Party. Thank you very much, Clifton, for joining us on Vegan Nation. And I'm excited to start right away with hearing about the updates since our last conversation.
Marlene, thanks for, again, inviting me on your show. I really appreciate it. I love speaking with you. And I'm really excited because we've seen people start to share their mail-in ballots. And we've seen a lot of people actually sharing their write-in votes for Breeze Harper and myself. So I don't know if you've been able to see any of those posts on social media, but, you know, I labeled it that something beautiful is happening. And here we are, Marlene, almost a year later since announcing the Humane Party's bid to run for the office of the President of the United States. And I never forget, Marlene, at that time, it was literally a dream. It was a focused group of people going out to inspire change. And now here we are a year later, and we see the fruits of that labor with actual votes. I mean, we have inspired enough people to actually say, you know what? I am also going to instigate change, and I'm going to vote for a Roberts Harper ticket. So I'm really excited about that.
Something beautiful is happening. I'm really excited to see that. And that's possible in Massachusetts, too, that we can write in Clifton Roberts and Dr. Amy Breeze Harper as your running mate. So can you explain that, how some states manage with that?
There are seven states that absolutely do not even accept write-in candidates. I've had some citizens write me and say, you know what? Even if there is not a space for write-in, I went out and got stickers and put the stickers, Clifton Roberts and Breeze Harper, on my mail-in ballot. I received a letter from somebody in New Mexico, and they said, you know, Clifton, I feel like I'm being violated because in New Mexico does not accept write-in votes. But what I did was I put a sticker for you and Breeze Harper. So I think it's kind of, they're challenging the system, and that momentum is giving us that drive to make sure that we're on the ballots for 2020.
Awesome.
Speaking of ballots, Marlene, there is something I wanted to share with you and your listeners. There are, by all accounts, about 350 million people in the United States of America. And so you and I both know through activism that we have to change the hearts and minds of a lot of people with direct engagement and direct interaction. So when you do a radio show, and let's say there happens to be a few thousand people that are listening to your radio show that are not vegan, it's a difficult task to be able to change years and years and years and years and years of tradition, habit, and culture that help to kind of work against the natural instinct for compassion. So where we have a very unique opportunity, instead of what we've been doing for the last 20 to 30 years in really focusing our efforts and trying to change the hearts and minds of the citizens of this country, is we have a very unique effort to affect a small group of people that will instigate a large amount of change. And by that, I mean candidates. So if we take the majority in Senate, and we take the majority in the House of Representatives, and we do finally elect a president that represents the Humane Party, we have a very unique opportunity to do this on a very small scale. And what I mean is that because there are 100 seats in the Senate, all we would need to constitute a majority is 51 people like you and me, Marlene. 51 people that understands what it means for this country that we're continuing to kill billions of innocent beings in this country, And then for the House of Representatives, all we need to fill the majority is 218 seats to fill the House of Representatives with a majority of people that are humane and that are true environmentalists. So that constitutes about 270 people. Now, when I had this epiphany, Marlene, it was profound. And I think that's the call to action that I want to ask of your listeners, is that 270 people is absolutely doable. And if we bombard the election process with the 2018 elections coming up for Senate and for House of Representatives, we can do it quickly. 270 people is not a lot of people. Like, you know, if we truly do have the 16 million vegetarians and vegans in this country, and let's say we focus on the vegans, and let's say there are 3 million people that are considered vegan, or let's just go conservative. Let's say 1 million people are vegan. I know with the compassionate intelligence that vegans possess, out of 1 million, we can find 270 compassionately intelligent and committed and disciplined and passionate people to run for office and actually win. So that is what I'm excited to share with you and your audience today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Clifton Roberts, and all at the Humane Party.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, achieving these numbers, I think, even though it's going to require victories and over 250 individual elections for federal office, I think in turn, what we're going to see is we are going to see the media finally say, okay, you know, there was this vice presidential candidate and this presidential candidate running for office this year that represented, you know, the voices of the voiceless or what have you. But imagine if they've seen local stories where, hey, there's a person from the Humane Party running for Senate, and they're really making an inspired and challenging bid to win that seat. Oh my gosh, in Florida it's happening. Oh my gosh, in New York. Now we really need to take advantage of this political process.
Yes, and I have to say, every time that I'm in communication with anybody from the Humane Party or reading your posts and your writings, all of you are so intelligent, like you say, that compassionate intelligence.
Yes, I could not agree with you more. You know, I was just having a conversation with Shelley Harrison recently. Even my work, and you know me, Marlene, I try to be as transparent as possible. Let me tell you what the Humane Party has done for me. You know that I work for a very large semiconductor company, right? And I'm senior manager of ethics and legal compliance. I truly believe that as a result of my work with the Humane Party and interacting and engaging with people like you and Jane Velez Mitchell and people with the board of directors like Jeff Rosenberg and Maggie Sargent, Magnolia, Jane Keene, Tracy Lal, I mean, all of the volunteers that have helped, Robin Miller, who is just one of the most visionary and inspiring chief executive officers that I've ever met in my entire life. They have actually made me smarter. So much so that my vision has broadened with my work in the corporate world, and that started to take notice. And so last week I was actually promoted. It was the most surreal thing ever. And you know, when I got the news that I was promoted, let me tell you, the first thing I thought about and the first thing that I attributed it to was the work that I'm doing for the Humane Party, the work that I'm doing to represent our non-human animal friends, and the expanded sense of vision that I have, not only in campaigning for rights of sentient beings in this country, but around the world, because I've been receiving these emails from people and messages from people, not just from the U.S., but from all over the world. And each time that I read a letter or an email from somebody from, you know, whatever geographical location that they're in, I soak that energy and my vision becomes that much more broad. So thank you, and thank you to your listeners, and thank you to everybody in this world, because it's definitely making me a more compassionately intelligent person as I go along, too. So couldn't agree with you more. I'm so blessed that I'm working with people like you and people of the Humane Party.
And congratulations on your promotion.
And well, thank you.
Yes, and I'd also like to ask you to ad lib a little bit more on the intersectionality, the interconnectedness of the violence and injustice and exploitation that's being done to the billions of our non-human animal friends, and how that ultimately ends up manifested and reflecting in society. And so when I see many, many people, justice activists as well as politicians, who are talking about change and talking about environmental justice or talking about worker rights and stopping exploitation and helping to relieve poverty and all of that. But for me, it's very clear that without veganism, we aren't going to succeed. That's why we have these problems in 2016.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. You know, I remember you stating one time that it was almost prophecy that you had actually stated, in historical prophecy, when you talked about the lack of the feminist voice or the feminine. You know, there was an absence of feminine because there were so many people that were felt threatened by the feminine voice, whether it was because they were intuitive, whether it was because they were caring and compassionate and loving. And, you know, you saw things like the witch hunt and the oppression of women and not allowing women to vote. And I think that played a huge part, because it is the women, I think, that should have helped keep our the actions that we take that were counterintuitive to compassionate intelligence and in our instinct to be compassionate. And so what we see with our candidates now is, when they talk about poverty, when they talk about aggression or police brutality, or they talk about other countries, normally, and this is just my opinion, normally they're talking about the consequences of something that is rooted much deeper. Now that I look at it, and I look at debates, and I look at the responses in the news from other political candidates or other U.S. citizens that are running for office, and nowhere do they mention the fact that we are a country that is killing innocent beings. And if we don't kill them personally, we pay people to kill them. And we're so blinded by our own tradition and culture and habit that we think it's okay. And then actually, the other people that choose not to kill or choose not to contribute to killing, those people are actually looked at as crazy. So, yes, there is an interconnectedness to animal rights and the rights of all beings and not killing them.
We're listening to Clifton Roberts, U.S. presidential candidate with the Humane Party. After the break, we'll continue our conversation with Clifton Roberts.
Hi, everybody. This is Anna Furman from Trigger Gospel, and you're listening to WCUW Worcester and on the web at WCUW.org.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots, global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at WCUW.org. You're the you in WCUW.
Beginning March 16th, Democracy Now! Will air from 1 until 2 p.m. over community radio WCUW.
We love bringing you the sound of Worcester's freewheeling radio, WCUW, covering Worcester's ethnic and local interests for 40 years. Thinking of becoming a WCUW sustaining member? Well, we appreciate it. Call our office at 508-753-1012 or call the studio at 508-753-2284 and tell everyone why you want to sustain WCUW. Let's keep that serotonin flowing.
Welcome back to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. We are joined by the 2016 U.S. presidential candidate, Clifton Roberts of the Humane Party.
I personally think that if we were to stop killing on a mass scale the innocent beings, and if we just started off with this country, we would see an increased successful data-driven approach to balancing our federal, state, and territorial budgets. I personally think that if we focused on stopping this killing, and again, you see me not even focusing on food yet, that the whole food thing is a different conversation altogether, which other people usually try to bring up. But if we were to stop the killing, we would see a commitment to ensuring equality under federal, state, and territorial law, whether it's regarding sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, marriage equality, any of that. That whole ERA too, we understand that there is a connectedness to the way that we treat animals. We would see all sorts of other benefits, like an increase in enhancement of our educational system. I can tell you now that my daughter, who is vegan, she's 11 years old. Recently, she skipped the sixth grade because she had always been studying advanced curriculum. And so now she's in the seventh grade at 11 years old. Now, it just so happens in California, because of the vaccination requirement, that I chose this year to homeschool her. But the program that I've been exposed to is actually one of the most wonderful programs that I've ever seen. And it does encourage the student in Eden, in this case, to really take advantage of her critical thinking skills instead of kind of dictating to her what she needs to do. Again, I think we would see an enhancement in our education, in our scholarship, in our personal and professional development, because we would be a nation built on compassion. And I think I had shared a story with you before, Marlene, where if we were to take a small community and scale down the United States and go from 350 million to 350, or even if we rounded that off and said, if America was 100 people, what would it look like? Well, imagine America with 100 people, and one America, we didn't kill anything, and the other America, seven of the people just killed everything they saw. Well, I think it wouldn't take us too much to guess which 100 people would be more successful in terms of their treatment to each other, in terms of their economic output, in terms of their education, in terms of how their children grew up. The 100 people that was exposed to murder and torture and killing and mutilation, their children would be traumatized. They would be soiled by the experiences that they saw, right? And also, they'd be eating the muscle and epinephrine of animal tissue, which biologically, what effect that has on your psychology as well. So, but specifically regarding politics, that's what we see, is a lack of focus with Trump, Clinton, Sanders, Stein, Johnson, is there's no mention of this as the baseline.
I know.
I don't know if you saw that video of 100 doctors,
yes,
who have been trained for 12 years, sitting in front of the White House and saying, we're holding don't eat meat sign.
Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine out of Washington,
yes.
D.C.
Yes. Well, here it is. We have a situation where I'm a vegan. I understand what the effects are of eating this way, of treating animals a certain way. And now you have scientific organizations and people of science coming and saying it's destroying the environment, your health, it's cancerous, it's this. And people are so enrooted in their tradition, habit, and culture, they're just ignoring it. And that's what is even more baffling to me.
Yes, I really like the information poster that you or one of your colleagues created with the abolition amendment.
Yes, yes. So right now, that amendment is open for public comment. And if you go to the Humane Party Facebook page, this is a chance for your listeners to actually be able to contribute to the rhetoric that we see within the abolition amendment. Yeah, it's an open comment period. So you'll see some new sections added to the rhetoric of the abolition amendment. In particular, I think it's section 3, where we talk about the ways that Congress can help to enforce the actions within the abolition amendment, and how a person can be appointed by the court to represent our non-human animal friends as a guardian.
Beautiful.
One thing I'm really excited about, Marlene, is the goals that we set out on when we first started to run for office, but even before that, when I was CEO. And we basically had 6 goals, which was to establish an organizational culture that does embody compassion, to coordinate and build a vehicle so that we can continue to be effective at winning elections, to project a vision and communicate opportunities that the Humane Party offers, and to seed, nurture, and grow chapters in all states, harvest the votes, and then finally finish the job by passing legislation. Well, those seem like very lofty goals, but what I can tell you, what I'm proud to tell you and your listeners, is that we are actually accomplishing these goals. You've seen this yourself, Marlene, that we have now established that organizational culture that embodies compassion, kindness, cooperation, and responsibility. That we've seen vegans and even non-vegans that have even just recently voted for Humane Party candidates come together under the Humane Party umbrella. We've seen that we are inspiring candidates, not just me, but we were able to convince people like Dr. Breeze Harper to run as a vice presidential candidate. As a result of that, we've seen other people coming out of the woodworks to say, hey, what do I need to do to run? I can tell you Robin Miller has shared with me, and she's a Humane Party CEO, that now more than ever, she's seeing an uptick in the amount and number of people that are going to humaneparty.org, filling out the volunteer form and checking that radio box that says, I'm interested in being a candidate. Now we've also seen that other people, when we talk about projecting the vision, how many times have you seen this post on social media, Marlene? Oh my God, I didn't know about the Humane Party. I got to look them up. Wow, they have a great candidate. He's vegan. He seems like he understands some of the issues. He has a vice presidential candidate that's vegan. Oh my gosh, all of board of directors are vegan. So we are actually seeing all of these goals being experienced. And so now the only goal that we have left is electing a U.S. president and a majority to both houses of Congress. And with the numbers that we talked about earlier, we can absolutely finish the job. I interviewed with Emily, the bite-sized vegan, and she asked me, Clifton, what makes you qualified to run? And I said, well, I have corporate organizational experience. My focus is ethics and legal compliance. I've worked in finance. I used to be a stockbroker. The license to be able to sell stocks called the Series 7 is one of the most difficult in this country. I've worked in healthcare. Now I've worked for this computer company that is basically committed to changing the world and connecting every single human being in the world. But more importantly than all of that, I've been a citizen of this country now for almost 50 years. I'm 49 years old, and I've been a citizen of this country for 49 years. So I am deeply qualified to be your president of the United States of America. And I want to encourage your listeners or anybody that happens to listen to your show, Marlene, that now more than ever, we have to take advantage of this political process. We have to take a stand and say, you know what? The people currently in office, let's replace those guys. The people in the Supreme Court, let's replace those by replacing the President of the United States so he can appoint people of compassion, of ethics, and that are really focused on humanity into the Supreme Court. So I can't stress enough to your listeners to run for office in 2018.
Great. And speaking of harvesting the votes for the Humane Party, I just heard that Dr. Will Tuttle and his wife Madeline Tuttle in California voted for Clifton Roberts.
And yeah, that is amazing.
Yes, he announced that with the World Peace Diet facilitators, and that's really significant. And for listeners who don't know, he has written a book called The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. And so, again, mm-hmm. that leads me to foreign policy and world peace, and it is possible. And, of course, it does take the actions of veganism.
Yeah, you know, I'm such a huge fan of Dr. Tuttle and his work. And so to hear that he is voting for the Humane Party, it definitely adds strength to that goal that we've received. And, you know, there's that coupled with the fact that there are people that are not vegan that are voting for the Humane Party is just amazing to me. But what it does do, Marlene, is it provides me with that energy to keep going. Every time someone reaches out to me and says, Clifton, what you guys are doing, what you and the Humane Party are doing is absolutely amazing. Keep up the good fight. Because we have an Instagram presence. We have a Twitter presence. We have Facebook, my email, my website. We have the Humane Party website. And from all angles, we're receiving letters and emails and Facebook messages and tweets and IG posts. And I haven't even touched all the social media. It's been absolutely amazing. So we are continuing to accomplish our goals. And hats off to Dr. Will Tuttle, his wife, and all of the people that he works with for supporting the Humane Party.
Beautiful. And hats off to the Humane Party.
Thank you.
And Clifton, we're coming to a close in the interview. Are there any additional messages that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
The Humane Party is a political party that is committed to the rights of all animals, including the non-human kind. But we are focused on other platform components and platform agenda items as well, like replacing the Electoral College system with a purely democratic election process to elect the president and the vice president, defending our nation's air, land, and water resources against further contamination and depletion. You know, the Humane Party is a party that is truly dedicated to our environment and protecting our environment, and where we can actually, instead of not only just preventing, revitalizing the ecosystems and fixing that. So the Humane Party is much more than what most people think initially. And I encourage your listeners to, again, go and look at our strategy. Go and look at it, what it is that we're proposing to fix and how we're proposing to do it. And then finally, I would ask that when you engage with other people that are not vegan, let them know about these other components of this party. If they're tired of going to war, the Humane Party has an answer. If they're tired of seeing their loved ones arrested and incarcerated for long periods of time for simply having a drug addiction or for committing a nonviolent crime, but they did so 3 times in a row, let them know that the Humane Party is a party that they should be considering.
Thank you, Clifton Roberts. It has been a pleasure and a great honor to have you joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I've enjoyed our franchise together, Marlene.
And thank you. And to all the members of the Humane Party, board of directors, all the volunteers, for really creating a peaceful, harmonious, sustainable, just, and healthy world. Thank you, Clifton.
Thank you, Marlene.
That was Clifton Roberts, 2016 U.S. presidential candidate with the Humane Party, the first vegan presidential candidate, and also the first presidential nominee from the Humane Party, which formed in 2009. Please join us again next week for the interview with Louis Rianda, the co-founder of the Peace Abbey, a foundation that promotes peace and nonviolence for humans and animals through education programs and public works of art. On October 29th, Louis Rianda will be presenting the Courage of Conscience Award to Sherry Vandersloos of Maple Farm Sanctuary in Mendon, Massachusetts. This will be part of the Compassion Arts Festival being held at the Unitarian Church of Mendon and Uxbridge. The church is located at 15 Maple Street in Mendon, Mass. Past recipients of the Courage of Conscience Award includes Rosa Parks, Muhammad Ali, Pete Seeger, Maya Angelou, Thich Nhat Hanh, artist Jane O'Hara, musician Richie Havens, and activist Julia Butterfly, and author Will Tuttle. Compassion Arts Festival. That's Saturday, October 29th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., a vegan potluck, and series of speakers all afternoon. Check it out at CompassionArtsFestival.com. And also, next week on Vegan Nation will be Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tips, the first Friday of every month. This will be Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tip number 22. And again, a very special thank you to Clifton Roberts and the Humane Party. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/Vegan Nation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.